Hey friends, welcome to Anti-Visions. I just wanted to share a Twitter thread that goes back to early August. It was from Constantine Kissin, who has a podcast along with Francis Foster, and it's a podcast called Triggernometry. It's trigger, as in like when somebody gets triggered by something they don't like. Triggernometry. It, you know, you can get on Apple Podcasts, on YouTube. It's a huge hit. It's out of the UK. They have amazing people on there, really great interviews. I highly recommend going and listening. But back in early August, Constantine posted a thread on Twitter about vaccine hesitancy. I'm just going to go ahead and read through this article. I'm going to show the posts. And yeah, I think you're going to really enjoy it. You're struggling to understand why some people are vaccine hesitant. This is the Let Me Help You mega thread. Imagine you're a normal person. The year is 2016. Rightly or wrongly, you believe most of what you see in the media. You believe polls are broadly reflective of public opinion. You believe doctors and scientists are trustworthy and independent. You're a decent, reasonable person who follows the rules and trusts authority. Imagine your shock then when Brexit, which you were assured won't happen because it's a fringe movement led by racists for racists, happens. The polls, which widely predicted it wouldn't happen, were completely wrong. The experts and media pundits who told you it wouldn't happen day after day are also wrong. Oh well, you say, these things happen. Imagine that soon after, Donald Trump is running for president. You were told by your favorite media publications that he is going to lose. Some experts say his opponent has a 99% chance of winning. Okay, I'm just going to press pause for a second. So going back to this here where he's talking about Brexit, if you're not familiar with Brexit, because Constantine is in the UK, Brexit is a British thing. It stands for the British exit from the European Union. So a while back, there was a real push to get Britain out of the European Union, and it was really by what we would consider to be the right, even though their political parties and conservative and liberal is different than it is here in the States. Still, it would have been a movement that was coming more from the right, from a conservative, as we would think of, conservative movement. And, of course, the left-leaning portion of Britain and government would have preferred to stay in the Union. Brexit media coverage was reminiscent of the way that the 2016 presidential election was covered here in the United States. One is simply just saying, you know, anybody who's going to vote for this is a racist, they're a bigot, they're xenophobic. And then the other element is because the media in the UK, just like here in the States, is driven by and really owned by the left. So the left pushes, or it pushed, the perception that there's no way it would ever pass. The polls, you know, show there's no way this will ever pass, just like the polls showed that there was no way Donald Trump could ever win. As a matter of fact, some of the polls here were off the charts, and they were just completely inaccurate. And I don't know if it was because there was just a lack of connection with the real world, or is really purposefully misleading, and I would suspect it was both. But the same thing happened in in Britain with Brexit. So you had the same kind of perception, and those are the connections that Constantine is drawing on here. And I'm just, you know, sharing that because if you're not familiar with Brexit, but it's also good to know that also that's how Brexit was perceived and pushed. So here we are. The experts and media pundits who told you it wouldn't happen day after day, they were also wrong, right? So, and here's an article he posts. Some experts say his opponent has a 99% chance of winning. That's how crazy the polling was off, right? And there was polling that wasn't quite like that, but was still massively high, 70% chance that Hillary Clinton's going to win the election, and then it turns out Trump wins. And it was a shock. It was an upset, and I do think it was an upset, but obviously it wasn't that far off the grid. It wasn't that far beyond the pale in terms of what was really happening in American culture and society. And so similar in Britain, where you would have imagined there's no way Brexit's going to pass, and it does. So in his tweet thread, in Constantine's tweet thread, he does post these articles, and I'll post the link to the tweet, but also I'll post the individual articles that he links to as well as sources. So I'm going to go on with what Constantine says. And now the racist monster they told you would never, that they told you would never get near the White House, is the leader of the free world. How did this happen? You ask yourself. How could all the people in charge of informing me be so wrong? It was the Russians, they tell you. The Russians did Brexit, and they got Trump elected too. Imagine that for the next 3.5 years, you watch as the media and the political class run with the Russia collusion narrative. They tell you how, when, they tell you how, when, and where. The dossiers, the whistleblowers, the peeing prostitutes. Imagine your desperation for things to make sense again. The Mueller report is coming, and it will set your world straight. Evidence of foreign meddling in the 2016 election and Brexit is coming to save your unsettled mind. Imagine your shock then when you discover that Brexit and Trump had little to do with foreign meddling. The screaming about Russians and Brexit dies down as well. I'm going to press pause there again. Just going back, you see these similarities, and this similarity between what happened with Brexit and with what happened with the Trump election. And so we spent, as a country, from 2016 almost to 2020, with our country being torn apart because the Democratic National Convention, and I'm not trying to pick on the Democrats. My point isn't to be, it's not to be focusing on Republican versus Democrat, but they chose to tear our country apart by creating a hoax about Trump and Russia. And the whole time, it was actually the only people that were colluding with Russia was the Democratic National Convention, who had created this whole false narrative, and it's been proven. It's been proven over and over. And so that's something that, in the podcast, I'll point to more at different times. Again, I don't think that you have to be all political and to care about truth, to care about the fact that our country's been torn apart by this. And that's what he's alluding to. And it's kind of wild that with Brexit, they said the same thing. So initially, Hillary Clinton, she, even though she conceded the election, she still to this day will say that it was the Russians that interfered. And the reason why we have fake news, the whole fact checking and all of that, just even the talk of fake news, that all came out of the Democratic National Convention's anger at Facebook and social media for supposedly allowing these fake news reports from Russia. And it turns out, after research, that there was very little fake news from Russia. And if there were any posts, they actually came out after the election. So they certainly didn't influence the elections at all. But still, the push goes forth to this day, where we have massive fact checking and all kinds of talk about fake news. That's all part of the, whether there's fake news or not, the point is that all of the talk of that came from that time period where the Democratic National Convention was panicking, saying that it's Russia and we have to deal with all the fake news that's damaging our society. But the only fake news going on was the news that they had created. They had hired a dossier that was a false dossier, and that gave them intelligence. They knew that this guy was giving them false intelligence. Then they were passing that intelligence on to the FBI. The FBI knew this. The FBI goes and gets warrants through the FISA court, which is basically secret courts that are under, really underneath the Supreme Court. And that's how they get these right to spy. So they were spying on the Trump campaign before Trump even got into office. They never found anything on him, obviously. It turns out this was all one big hoax. But they still had access to everything. So if there had been anything dirty on him, they would have it by now. I mean, they would have him in jail if they could, but there's nothing on him. But the point is that it tore our country apart, and we still have so many people that actually believe that Russia is, our big enemy. And I mean, not to say Russia's perfect or that we should be best buddies with them, but so I'm just gonna keep go back and read on this a little bit more. That's a little bit of a soapbox for me, but imagine that bit by bit you discover that events which the media and political class told you would not and could not happen, not only happened, but happened without some sort of evil interference. Instead, millions of your fellow citizens voted for them. Again, you ask, how could this happen? And again, the media has the answer. Racism. Your country is racist, they tell you. If you're white, this seems strange to you. Other than a handful of idiots, you've never met a racist. If you're an ethnic minority immigrant like me, this seems even stranger. I'll just press pause and say Constantine is a Russian immigrant to the UK. That's why he says ethnic minority immigrant. And Francis Foster, the one who he co-hosts with, is from Spain, and he's British as well. So here, as an outsider, he's saying, if you're an ethnic minority like immigrant like me, this seems even stranger. Why would people in one of the most welcoming, tolerant countries in the world want to convince themselves their country is racist when it's so obviously not? But the evidence is right there on your TV screen. Imagine your horror as a gay black actor is assaulted by MAGA hat-wearing thugs who racially abuse him and put a noose around his neck. He cries while talking about it. And there's a post about Jussie Smollett, who, at the time, this tweet was August 2nd, 2021. So back in August. And now we just had, within the past 14 days, Jussie Smollett was found guilty on 5 of 6 charges. It was a complete hoax. The whole thing was set up to make to look like a racially charged attack. And this further tore our country apart. And it was further proof that people, even at the highest level, were endorsing the idea, this is America in 2021. And so, as Constantine is saying, well, here's the evidence right here. I mean, like they said, we're racist because we got to have some reason why these crazy things are happening. So I'm gonna keep reading and press play. Imagine your outrage as you see news reports of a bunch of MAGA hat-wearing kids from a religious school contemptuously confront a Native American elder. Reza Aslan tells you the kid has a punchable face, and while you abhor violence, it's hard to disagree. Imagine that for days you watch coverage of these events, with expert after expert, pundit after pundit, sharing and fueling your outrage about them. With every word, your belief that you are a good person and that your country is a good country wavers. Imagine that soon after, however, the Jussie Smollett story turns out to be an attention-seeking hoax. Imagine that you quickly discover that the Native American elder was the one who confronted the kids and not the other way around. I'll press pause there. If you're not familiar with this was actually a big story at the time. And see, at the time, when things are in real time, we don't see the connection. But what's happening is the media is constantly weaving a narrative. They don't care about facts. The mainstream media, not just in the United States, but in Britain and Europe, it's kind of scary just in general, is constantly trying to weave a particular narrative. And so at the time, the narrative was that the West, it's not just the United States, the West is racist. And so they look for stories and all of these opportunities. And these are actually hoaxes because this story about this kid, I mean, I wasn't really paying attention a lot at the time and really wasn't paying attention to the news a lot. And I really trusted the mainstream media, even though I knew, that it was leftist and whatever. I didn't, I still generally trusted them. So I didn't expect that a story like that was made up. So I really thought that this kid and these others were, they're from a Catholic school at in DC or somewhere like that. I can't remember. And it looks like, they're wearing their MAGA hats and it looks like they're confronting minorities and it was, the scenario was meant to make them look like they were these aggressive racists. And it turns out there is nothing of the sort. None of that happened. It's the furthest thing from the truth. And that should scare us all. I look back and in and of itself, I'm not that interested in trying to figure out how to vindicate the kid. But what I am concerned about is our mainstream media, and you're talking not just one or two of them. You're talking CNN, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, all of them. I can't think of all any which one of them other than Fox. Hey, look, you might not like Fox. There are a lot of things I don't necessarily care about Fox, but what I do appreciate about Fox is that it is the one mainstream media news source that doesn't go along with the narrative of everyone else. And we should have a problem when we should have a problem with the idea that all of these media outlets all speak from the same card, the same talking points. They're a monolith. They don't cross-reference, they don't cross-examine. They just quote each other. And that should be a problem for us as Americans. So, okay, I'm gonna press play again and go back to Constantine here. If this is such a racist country, you ask yourself, why would they need to make up stories of racism? As you ponder this, you remember that for years now, you've been expected to go along with other make-believe. You're expected to believe that whether you're male or female is not as simple as you once thought. Whatever you learned about biology at school is wrong. You no longer know how many genders there are, and it seems dangerous to try to find out. Imagine reading that the experts at the American Psychological Association say that traditional masculinity is pathological and harmful. And there's an article here from The Atlantic where it says psychology has a new approach to building healthier men. And it's a controversial set of guidelines that aims to help men grapple with traditional masculinity. Imagine that you still want to believe the media and their experts, but now that requires you to think your country is racist, men are bad, and gender is a social construct, whatever that means. It is at this point that a pandemic emerges on the other side of the world. You're initially concerned, but as scenes emerge from Italy and other countries, it is clear that something big is happening. You watch nervously as politicians give press conference after press conference, flanked by experts, to explain the situation. The racist Donald Trump shuts down travel from China. In response, the mayor of Florence advises citizens to fight racism by hugging a Chinese person. Shortly after, Nancy Pelosi, a respected Democrat, visits Chinatown in San Francisco to explain, quote, "There's no reason tourists or locals should be staying away from the area because of coronavirus concerns," unquote. Thank God there are some sensible, non-racist people who aren't overreacting, you say to yourself. Imagine watching as Trump doubles down on his racism by claiming the virus may have come from a lab in Wuhan. Nonsense, you think to yourself as you wonder how best to protect yourself and your family from this deadly disease. You consider getting masks. You've seen visitors from Asian countries wear them. But the UK's chief medical officer tells you not to wear a mask and wash your hands instead. I'm just going to press pause. That's exactly what Fauci here in the United States told us as well. Okay, going back to this. As lockdowns are introduced around the world, you diligently follow all the rules. You stay at home, only go out once, and live off savings or government grants. You are proud to be doing your part. Thanks to you and millions of your fellow citizens, the first wave of the pandemic does not overwhelm the healthcare system. While thousands sadly die, you've helped to protect the NHS. Imagine your confusion as the same people who have spent 3 months telling you masks don't work and you shouldn't wear them introduce mask mandates. We're, quote, following the science, they tell you. This makes little sense, but a pandemic is no time for questions. As you cautiously go to the supermarket, you notice that masks have made people far less likely to socially distance. You remember reading somewhere that bicycle helmets work similarly. They give the wearer more confidence, and the result is more accidents and injuries, not fewer. Silly people, you say to yourself, if only they would follow government advice. You turn on your TV to learn that shoppers at your local supermarket aren't the only ones who have been ignoring the rules. Neil Ferguson, the man whose projections were used as the basis for lockdowns, appears to have broken his own rules to get some action with his married lover. Boris Johnson's chief advisor, Dominic Cummings, drove halfway across the country to ensure he had a better place to isolate. The journalists who berate him for this are later found to have attended a birthday party in breach of the rules. The lockdown continues. However, a man is killed in Minneapolis while being arrested for a petty crime. The man is black. The officer is white. The arrest is captured on video and quickly goes viral around the world. Imagine your horror as you watch an officer of the law kneel on another man's neck until he passes out and later dies. This is disgusting, you say to yourself. I hope they throw the book at him. Overnight, a huge campaign for racial justice springs up around the world. No one explains what racism had to do with the incident, but they don't need to. As you know by now, the West is racist, and therefore any time a white person does anything bad to a black person, there can only be one explanation. The fact that an identical incident happened to a white man called Tony Tempa is never mentioned for context. While the lockdown rules remain in place, the protests against injustice spill out onto the streets. Tens of thousands of people crowd into major cities. Few wear masks, and social distancing is non-existent. Clashes with police ensue, and in America, protesters loot stores, attack residents, and start fires. A retired black police officer called David Dorn is among dozens of people who are murdered in the chaos. And I'm just going to add, he's murdered because he's protecting a friend's business from the looters and rioters. He's not murdered by, you know, a bunch of crazy KKK right-wing racists. I just want to make that point. And very sad. David Dorn, look it up if you're not familiar with that. So the media describe these events as mostly peaceful protests, as the reporters stand in front of burning buildings. After months of harsh restrictions, the media and political class offer no criticism of protests, which violate every element of lockdown. And he's got a picture here, a screenshot from CNN in Kenosha with burning cars behind the reporter. I mean, they're burning. Clearly one has blown up. I mean, it looks like, you know, Terminator or something where everything was just destroyed. And he's standing there and he's declaring their fiery but mostly peaceful protests. As it looks like, you know, as it looks like World War III just occurred right behind him. And there are so many scenes like that. Okay, I'm going to go back to Constantine here. After months of telling you to stay at home to avoid spreading COVID, doctors explain that rather than being a mass COVID spreading event, quote, protest is a profound public health intervention, unquote. Time.com, why so many doctors support protesting in a pandemic. And that's the article he links. Big tech companies go into overdrive to stop the spread of disinformation. All discussions of alternative points of view regarding the efficacy of masks and lockdowns, as well as the origins of the virus, are censored. Attempts to discuss the negative impact of lockdown on health and mental well-being are suppressed. As the year runs on, with a pivotal American election looming, President Trump promises a huge push to develop a new vaccine. Kamala Harris, who is later elected vice president, says that she would not take the vaccine if Trump told her to. And he's got a clip from CNN here where Kamala says that she would be the first in line to take it if scientific advisors said to take it, but if Donald Trump says take it, I'm not doing it. Yeah, it's interesting to note that she's not the only one that promoted what would now be seen as dangerous rhetoric that promotes vaccine hesitancy. And it's also interesting that in this debate that is actually here, the one that she had with Pence, and during that time there were other debates that Trump had with Biden, that he was mocked, not just by them, but also by the media, at the thought of ever having a vaccine. You know, they were saying, well, it will take years. And in a normal world, it would have taken years. And he kept saying, no, it's going to be soon. It's going to be real soon. And sure enough, it was actually released before he left office. So that's just one more point. But back to Constantine. On the eve of the election, a publication in America releases a damaging report about Hunter Biden, son of presidential candidate Joe Biden. The story alleges corruption, which may involve his father, as well as drug taking, use of prostitutes, and more. And I'm going to press pause. That was a very real story that the most important part was not the drug taking, the prostitutes, and all of that. That's been an ongoing problem of Hunter's, but it had to do with Burisma and the Ukraine, basically Russia, and collusion. And Joe Biden, and there was a lot of really damning evidence. So not only major criminal activity, but also it would, for any normal voter, it should cause major concern as to putting someone in office who is compromised and beholden to other nations like Ukraine, Russia, or China, even for that matter. But I'm going to go on and read what Constantine says. Twitter and other social media companies prevent the story from being shared. The media lines up commentators to claim the story was Russian disinformation. And I'll press pause again. It wasn't just the media. They got retired intelligence guys to say that this was all Russian disinformation, and that was the story they pushed. It was Russian disinformation. You know, hey, look, if the play works, run it again, right? Russian different disinformation. But also, it wasn't, they didn't just, Twitter didn't just prevent the story from being shared. You're talking, this story, this bombshell story, was broken by the New York Post, the oldest newspaper, running newspaper in the country, and very reputable, whether you like them or not. It's a reputable publication, news outlet, and it was completely censored. Like, it their account was blocked. They were locked out for 14 days. This was right before the election. Anybody who shared the story then was also locked out. So tons of people were locked out, and we're talking other politicians were locked out, people that it was crazy. It wasn't just random people. It was anybody that shared it. And it was a revelation, because that's the, even though there had been clearly censorship going on within social media and big tech, this was the first time we saw how deep it was and how in bed the big tech was, I won't say with government, I'll say with a particular political party. And it doesn't matter what the facts are, it doesn't matter what truth is, they would not allow it. So anybody even who talked about it, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, was shut down. But I'm going to go back to Constantine now. Once his father, Hunter's father, meaning Joe Biden, wins the election, it becomes clear that several key elements of the story are likely accurate, and the laptop from which the information was recovered is in fact Hunter Biden's laptop. And I don't know if you recall that either, because by then it didn't matter anymore, and people had moved on, and the damage was done. But the media did come out and admit that actually is, in fact, it was legitimately Hunter Biden's. The FBI really had it, and it really was not Russian disinformation. Was anybody held accountable? No. Did anybody apologize? No. They just passively share the news as though they had never said any fake news in the past. Very Orwellian. Okay, back to Constantine. Meanwhile, the numbers of COVID patients and deaths turn out to have been wrong. For some time, anyone who died at any point after a positive COVID test was counted as dying of COVID, even if they were killed by a drunk driver. And this is an article from BBC News. Then this figure is later revised again. The number of people who are in hospital because of COVID also turns out to be incorrect. This is from The Telegraph. Okay, now that racist Donald Trump is no longer president, closing borders is no longer considered xenophobic and is widely advocated for in the media. The racist conspiracy theory that the virus came from a lab is now also allowed to be discussed and appears likely to be the most credible explanation of the origins of the virus. I'm going to press pause again. That was another thing. Initially, after COVID, the number one thing was not to find out the origin, but it's very important if you're talking about a pandemic and future health for the world is to know how it happened and where it came from. And initially, it was accepted even by experts that was a possibility with the Wuhan lab being the origin. But then quickly it was deemed racist and it was shut down. There's actually a lot to that we know now, but once that happened, you couldn't even share that on social media anymore. And that went on for almost a year. It went on until well after the election. So until Donald Trump was out of office, because it helped make sure that he didn't get back in office, they ran with that. But then later, this is another example of mainstream media came back. And of course, they didn't apologize for their past reporting. It's just kind of, breaking news. We discovered that it's very possible that the virus did possibly come from the Wuhan lab, and it's not racist for us to actually explore that. Now, there's been a lot of effort to actually keep that investigation from happening, but the evidence is really overwhelming. Of course, it can't be concluded because the major power players won't allow for it to happen, as well as China doesn't cooperate in that. But anyway, we can still look at what's most likely and most possible. So back to this. Imagine your horror as you learn that the reason thousands of people died in the first wave of the pandemic was that elderly patients with COVID were allowed to be released back into care homes. This is especially true in the UK and in New York, run by Governor Andrew Cuomo, brother of CNN anchor Chris Cuomo. Governor Cuomo's publisher suspends promotion of his book about leadership during the pandemic amid the inquiry into nursing home deaths. Meanwhile, Texas and Florida, which remained open, continue to thrive. In the UK, the health secretary, the person responsible for saving lives, is found to be cheating on his wife with a married aide in breach of social distancing rules. The man making the rules for you does not follow them. It is at this point that the vaccine, which you were initially told would need to be given to the vulnerable before restrictions are lifted, becomes the main drive of government policy and media commentary. The same people who told you Brexit would never happen, Trump would never win, that when he did win, it was because of Russian collusion, then because of racism, that you must follow lockdowns while they don't, that masks don't work, and then that they do work, that protests during lockdowns are a health intervention, that ransacking black communities in the name of fighting racism are mostly peaceful, that Jussie Smollett was a victim of a hate crime, that men are toxic, that there is an infinite number of genders, that COVID didn't come from a lab, and then that it probably did, that closing borders is racist, and then that it's the most important thing to do, that the Hunter Biden story is Russian disinformation, and then that it's not, that they would not take Trump's vaccine, and then that you must take the vaccine, that Governor Cuomo is a great COVID leader, and then that he's a granny killer, that the number of COVID deaths is one thing and then another, that hospitals are filled with COVID patients, and then that many of them caught COVID in the hospital. These same people are now telling you the vaccine is safe. You must take it, and if you don't, you will be a second-class citizen. Understand vaccine hesitancy now? P.S. How do I know these things? I have a YouTube show, at TriggerPod, where we have honest conversations with people who can actually explain why things are happening, why Brexit happened, why people voted for Trump, BLM, COVID, etc. Check it out. That is what I was going to share. There's so much more that I could say, but I think these are important points that he makes. And I think that regardless of your political persuasion or how you feel about the vaccines or COVID, that it's important to look at the broader, you know, just the broader story on a whole, and to see some of the trends that are very disturbing. And the trends have to do with, ironically, with misinformation, disinformation. They have kind of like Orwellian manipulation of ideas and censorship, and you know, it drives and it fuels conspiracy theories. But the irony is that when you know, especially when people who were conservative in the past said what they thought or what they believed, like then it was considered a conspiracy theory, and then later it turns out that it's not. So the question is, who has the authority anymore to determine what is a conspiracy theory? And as long as we keep seeing these things go on, the really extreme, crazy conspiracy theories are actually, I'm not saying that I agree with them, but I'm saying I can see why people with half a brain would start to think that the really crazy things are happening, because it's disturbing to see what's going on. So, yeah, I'm just going to leave us with that, and we'll catch up another time on Anti-Visions.